I am far more concerned than what's happening at the editorial page by what's happening in news pages.
Molly Hemingway speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
In news pages, that old idea that we had for a few decades of aiming toward objectivity has just been completely thrown out the window.
And this is a generalization, but I think it bears out. And again, I mean, even 5-10 years ago, it would have sounded crazy that I'd be saying this, but I mean, I think it is the case. You have to view the explicit goal of most of the major journalistic institutions in this country as electing Democrats. And when they aren't electing Democrats, they're trying to push the Democratic Party further left.
You can watch and listen to a recording of journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway's Q&A from our 2020 Making the Case conference. It's available in both video and audio formats for a tax-deductible contribution of $250. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
The QAnon movement appears to be gaining a lot of followers. Can you talk about what you think about that and what you have to say to people who are following this movement right now?
Well, I don't know much about the movement other than I understand they like me very much, which I appreciate. But I don't know much about the movement. I have heard that it is gaining in popularity. And from what I hear, these are people that when they watch the streets of Portland, when they watch what happened in New York City in just the last 6 or 7 months, these are people that don't like seeing what's going on in places like Portland and places like Chicago and New York and other cities and states.
That's President Donald Trump speaking during a White House press briefing last month when asked a question about the apocalyptic internet movement called QAnon. Where did it come from? How did it originate? And why is it appealing to some Christians? Are pastors and congregations prepared to deal with what is in essence a widespread, far-reaching conspiracy theory falling under the name of QAnon in their own congregations? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about this internet movement called QAnon. Emily Bells, senior reporter for World Magazine, will be our guest. We'll discuss the fear of death a little bit later with Pastor Ben Ball, 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Then on this Thursday afternoon, we'll take your email and go through some of it, answering some of your questions, your comments, your show suggestions, and your criticisms. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Joining us to discuss an apocalyptic internet movement called QAnon, Emily Bells, senior reporter for World Magazine and author of a story titled Questions About QAnon. Emily, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What is the fundamental belief system, if one can be detected, of QAnon?
Well, in some ways, it's an internet movement that can kind of fit to whatever you want it to be. I mean, people take sort of the parts that are appealing to them, but the unifying theory is that there is this satanic cabal of elites that are running the world and using sex trafficking, specifically of children, to kind of preserve their power. And that is the rough outline of the idea. I think for Christians thinking about this, it's essentially an apocalyptic end times type movement. You know, you see the headlines and you see bad things happening in the world and you sort of assign these kind of greater narratives to it.
As far as we know, how did QAnon originate?
It's always hard to pinpoint some of these internet movements. You know, it's sort of like finding how a viral meme became a viral meme. But this goes back to Pizzagate. I don't know if you remember that, but back in 2016, there was this idea that this pizza restaurant in D.C. was secretly a cover for Hillary Clinton to traffic children. There was a man who went there to try and release the children, and turned out there weren't children there. But that is sort of emblematic of the QAnon worldview, that this is happening all the time, that these elite politicians are engaged in this kind of behavior. Then a year later, we had the first post from Q himself, who is supposedly the person behind this whole movement. So he posts anonymously. He goes by the name Q, just the letter Q. His post started in 2017, and they've continued since then.
So Who does Q claim to be?
He hasn't revealed his identity, but it appears to be, you know, the way he talks about himself is as somebody who's in the military, who's involved in intelligence, and who is close to President Trump. So there's a lot of speculation about who he is. The main idea is that President Trump is one of the people who's fighting this satanic cabal, and so people like Q are helping him, and you know, they need all these patriots to join in and also participate in fighting this satanic movement that's happening. So I think that his position is perceived to be someone who's very much in the inside circle of U.S. government and has a lot of information that you wouldn't find anywhere else. So he posts a lot of the information online.
So he's basically claiming to be leaking information about the real doings of our elected officials or powerful people in the world, claiming to have inside knowledge of these things.
Exactly. And he uses really vague language. He'll talk about, there's different phrases that he uses that QAnon followers use, like the storm is coming and where we go one, we go all. And those are these kind of phrases that are indicating to people that you are a follower of Q. But he doesn't really divulge a lot of details sometimes. I mean, some of the things that he's predicted, like he predicted the arrest of Hillary Clinton soon after Trump was elected, but that didn't end up happening, as we all know. And there have been other specific prophecies like that that haven't come true. But people who follow QAnon just say, well, he's strategically planting false information to keep out the what he calls black hats who are trying to foil the movement. So, you know, there's kind of an explanation for anything that he does that doesn't come to pass.
What is the alleged role of President Trump in the QAnon worldview?
Oh, he's a good guy. He's the guy who's trying to take down the elites who are causing all these problems, who are running this trafficking ring, who are satanic, who are in Hollywood, who are in DC, who are running all of our media organizations. So I think kind of the general approach that Trump has taken as being someone who is taking on the elites plays into this narrative and allows people to see him that way. So in some ways, QAnon tracks with some of the general anti-elite narratives that you see Trump play into himself. And Trump hasn't specifically distanced himself from QAnon. I mean, he said that they like him, so he's fine with that. So he hasn't exactly gone into it in much detail, but they take whatever little indicators of his support that they can. And so that was a big deal when he recently did not distance himself from them. So you're seeing this becoming more of a mainstream political movement, I would say, and it's seeing itself as led by Donald Trump.
Why does QAnon and its various theories, why does it appeal to some Christians, Emily?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it appeals to people in many ways because, like I said before, you can fit it to whatever you want it to be. It can be a sort of a movement that's skeptical of medicine. You know, there's a lot of people who are anti-vaccine who are part of QAnon that can be skeptical of the media. So it might just be people who are dubious of what they read in the news every day. It might be skeptical of, you know, what Hollywood is feeding to us in movies and whatever else. So there's a lot of different threads that you can kind of mold it into. But I think it is appealing to Christians, especially from a spiritual standpoint, because it does talk about the reality of evil, which we believe in. And it also sees, you know, it has a view of the end times, that these are all signs of the coming, whatever bad thing is going to happen in the end times. And I think there's plenty of different theological threads that could have led to that thinking. But a lot of the people I interviewed, it was people who had read, who had grown up reading Left Behind and things like that, who, you know, were thinking of the end times through the lens of news headlines. So you read the news to figure out what's going on in Revelation. And I think that's a common thread that I saw among the people I interviewed. So I think there are certain theological foundations that do make you a little more open to this idea than otherwise.
How widespread do you think is QAnon's following among American Christians?
Well, I think the pandemic has really accelerated this trend. And so people have been at home and reading the internet a lot more than they normally would, and maybe having a little more time on their hands to do Googling and following people on Instagram and scrolling through Twitter. And so a lot of these QAnon accounts have exploded in popularity in the last few months. So it's been a really recent phenomenon that we've seen this growth. And a lot of those accounts, the QAnon accounts, are Christian QAnon influencers. And so it's people who are publicly proclaiming themselves as Christians and then also sharing these theories. And so, for example, there's one guy on YouTube named Praying Medic, and he has several hundred thousand followers, and he regularly goes through QAnon ideas almost like a school teacher. A lot of mom bloggers, like Christian mom bloggers on Instagram, have grown in popularity, and they have several hundred thousand followers as well. So I think anecdotally, we see this growing on social media, but we also, the number of people who've contacted me just as a reporter from churches who are kind of overwhelmed with the number of people that they know who are into this is pretty remarkable. So I keep hearing from pastors, I keep hearing from lay people who have noticed this really grow in their churches.
Are churches and pastors prepared to deal with QAnon's appeal?
Well, I have to say the answer is no, only because that's what pastors told me themselves. I talked to a number of Southern Baptist pastors, people who lead Presbyterian churches, people in non-denominational churches who have seen this really spread in their congregations, and they don't know what to do about it. So there's a few articles online, a few podcasts here and there that they might point people to, but they don't know how to engage with someone when you don't agree on what sources are reliable and what the nature of truth is in some ways. So I think it's really difficult for them just from a relational aspect. I mean, I guess I would say, you know, any serious problem in life is hard to solve with a snap of your fingers. So this is something that we've seen growing the foundation for this movement has been laid for many years. So I don't think that we can put it all on pastors to just solve it right away. It's going to be a lot of work to help people become, I think, more media literate and to be able to really look at all the overwhelming information on the internet and be able to say this is true and this is not true. So that's something that we're all going to have to participate in, I think.
We're talking about the apocalyptic internet movement called QAnon. Emily Bells is our guest, senior reporter for World Magazine. When we come back, what do QAnon devotees mean when they say, do your own research? We'll find out next.
How do we defend children's rights? Well, there's one very simple but hard answer to that. And it is that adults need to do hard things.
Katie Faust of Them Before Us, speaking at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Too often, we expect children to do the hard things in marriage and family situations. What about when adults are facing a struggling marriage? If the adults decide, we just can't work this out. What they're really saying is, this cross is too heavy for me. Here, kids, you take it instead.
You can watch and listen to a recording of Katie Faust's presentation, Making the Case for Children's Rights, from this year's Making the Case conference. For a tax-deductible donation of $250, you can download an audio and video recording. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's been 6 years since AdCruisen started advertising on Issues Etc., and we are so grateful for the support we have received from Pastor Wilkin and his team. In that time, we have increased our inventory substantially. We've added ornaments, church banners, jewelry, posters, and much, much more. But we still offer beautifully printed, theologically sound greeting cards that need no correction. So put away that Sharpie and come on over to adcruisen.com. That's adcruisen.com.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Emily Bells is our guest, senior reporter for World Magazine. We're talking about the internet movement called QAnon. Emily, sometimes when interacting with the devotees of QAnon, we'll hear an argument like, do your own research. What does that mean?
Well, it's sort of a general way of deflecting the responsibility for sourcing things from my standpoint. So a QAnon account might throw out the idea that, oh, all these wildfires are happening all over the place. I wonder if satellites are actively targeting these cities and creating these fires. Well, do your own research. And that plants the idea into one's head that this theory might be actually happening, but it deflects the responsibility of the person posting it to provide the details for that research. But I think the idea behind using that phrase, do your own research, is that you should be the news, that you're the one that is the journalist now, and you go and find your sources and decide what's really going on, which from my standpoint as a journalist, that's great, have at it. But I think most people, for one thing, don't know how to evaluate sources sometimes. And so I've gotten a lot of emails from people about different QAnon theories, and it'll be people pulling ideas from like anonymous blogs and like, well, this is not a reliable document if it's from, you don't even know where this blog started from or where this information came from. But people treat anything that I think is sort of something they found themselves as more interesting than absorbing information from kind of the outside media sources, the more mainstream stuff. So I think it's a way of, it makes the news more interesting to you because you're discovering it, but it also means that there's a lot of unverified information that comes through as well.
Tell us about Sandy Staub.
Yeah, so Sandy is a Christian in Idaho, and I thought he was a really good person to use for this story because he is interested in QAnon, but he's not somebody who would go around wearing a QAnon t-shirt or something. And that's true of, I think, a lot of people that I've talked to about this who they buy into some of the ideas, but they're not going to be all rah-rah, like, let me go to some QAnon rally or something. But they'll share ideas online and they'll join in some degree. So Sandy, he's a developer. He's a very smart guy. He moved out to Idaho because of Y2K and wanted to be on a ranch with its own power system to write it out. So he already had some of these ideas that we were in kind of a crisis moment as a society at that point. And he has always been really interested in apocalyptic literature and in the Left Behind series and things like that. But he got into QAnon, I would say this year, I think. he really respects Q himself. He thinks he's a smart guy and has a lot of interesting ideas. And he sort of takes the ideas that he finds interesting and absorbs them and does more research and writing about them himself on his blog. So he, I think, is a good person who's an example of what a QAnon follower is like. Even though he might not really describe himself as a QAnon follower, he's somebody who agrees with a lot of QAnon ideas. But I just wanted to characterize him as not some crazy conspiracy theorist, but as somebody who's really intelligent and goes to church and is, you know, not insane. He's a really nice guy. So I hope we see people who are into this movement as human beings who are regular folks who just are exploring different ideas and maybe going down some rabbit trails they shouldn't go down, and you have to respond to them with love and compassion, I think.
Is anyone working to help Christians come out from under the influence of QAnon?
Well, it's a very small field. So I talked to a friend of mine named Bob Pardon, who is someone who helps people leave Christian cults. And by Christian cult, I mean a group that is sort of twists the Bible to be something that it's not. And so he's worked with a lot of people who, you know, have pulled away from society completely and been in some really abusive situations, and he helps them come out of it. And he is one of the few people, I think, who is equipped to address really serious cases of this. And he's, right now, there's a man who's staying at their recovery house who has been deep into QAnon. And what Bob told me is that he doesn't think there's some magic formula for bringing this man back to society and truth and all that. But he thinks what needs to happen is just the man needs, you know, a better understanding of his relationship with God and of God's sovereignty in the world, and to not be super obsessed with the news all the time, and to not try to go through prophecies and interpretations of every event that comes down the pike. And so he thought, as the man just sort of naturally works on having a better, more stable relationship with God and of immersing himself in community and in the Bible, that this would naturally be something that falls away, that QAnon would be less of an important thing in his life. So that was, you know, the unexciting sort of solution that Bob shared with me.
Who are the major QAnon social media influencers?
Well, you have Praying Medic, who I mentioned earlier, who is on YouTube, and he has several hundred thousand followers. He's self-proclaimed Christian and shares a lot of QAnon ideas. And then I looked at a lot of Christian influencers on Instagram, who are mostly women, who I think, you know, already were very kind of homeopathic and would share a lot of fashion and things like that. And now they've sort of lumped QAnon onto their brand in a way, and they already had a big following, and now they're kind of building their identity as QAnon influencers. And so it's a lot of moms who will post pictures of their kids and then, you know, the latest pair of pants from some fancy place, and then they'll also post about, you know, the latest QAnon theory, like that some toy is trying to teach children how to be sexual and you got to be on the watch for this thing from Mattel or something. So they'll kind of weave it into their identities as mom bloggers.
Are some trying to cash in on QAnon?
Yes. I mean, I think personally speaking, there is sort of a scam element to some people who are QAnon influencers. I mean, I didn't see that among the Christian ones who I was studying, but I think some other people that I did look at online, you know, they post very prominently their Venmos and their PayPals and their different things that you can send them money. And it does seem like just the way that they marketed everything, that they're trying to sell all these QAnon merchandise things and get people to donate to them in order to continue the movement. And so it felt sort of manipulative to me. But there is that element of people trying to get some money from this whole movement.
How do the attempts of various social media platforms to filter or to eliminate QAnon accounts, how does that tend to fuel QAnon conspiracy theories?
Well, I think this is such a hard question because on the one hand, when you followed QAnon accounts on Instagram in the past, Instagram would promote more QAnon content to you because it thought of this as like any other interest, like baseball or football or something. And so they just inundate you with QAnon accounts. And I think that's problematic because it takes people down this sort of rabbit hole that they might not otherwise go down. But at the same time, when social media companies block QAnon accounts completely, it sort of adds fuel to the idea that QAnon is this secret information that's really telling the truth about the world, but none of the big influential corporations or anyone wants you to find out about it. So there is an element of every time, you know, a social media giant censors a QAnon account, it just furthers their narrative that there's this conspiracy to silence QAnon followers and to keep this secret truth away from the rest of the world.
Finally then, Emily, what is the basic danger of QAnon's view of the world?
I think there's two things going on. I think, first of all, this shows the real lack of media literacy. I mean, I think that's a fundamental thing that all citizens now in this internet age have to have. And it's just being able to understand what's reliable information and what's not reliable information. And so in some sense, everybody does have to, to use a QAnon phrase, do their own research, but it's learning to distinguish what's true and what's not. And I think, you know, the second thing is just that as the church, we think that truth is very important. And so I think we need to be interested as the church in pursuing what's true and rebuking each other when we, you know, are sharing slander or things that are not true or not proven. I think that's not always clear cut with QAnon, and I want to be clear about that, that sometimes they, you know, followers do share things that are partial truths. So I think there's room for compassion and mercy within that, but I also think that we do need to care about the nature of truth as the church and to preserve the integrity of our word. When we say things, we need to mean them and they need to be true. So I think that's kind of a general concept, but I think it's really important.
Emily Belts is senior reporter for World Magazine, author of a story titled Questions About QAnon. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Emily, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me, Todd.
On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about the fear of death. Pastor Ben Ball, 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of St. Matthew with Judging Others, Ask and It Will Be Given, The Golden Rule in the Narrow Gate, False Prophets, and Hearing and Doing. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute, verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider our beach house, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.